Did I say it was kind of like two of you? There's one that makes the decisions, and there's the other one that's acting. I'm not going to say that the thing that when you're acting and when you're doing things that you're never going to get away from a situation and go, I don't like the way I did that. That was proud. And where my brain was. Those things will happen. They will happen. They will grieve you when they happen. But he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. Your spirit better fear the integrity of you. How do you split it up? I don't know. But you got to have rule over your own spirit. You got to have such integrity within your moral conscience, your decision maker, the eternal soul of you that's going to live on eternally, that's going to be held accountable for everything you do, needs to be of such integrity that there's another carnal side of you that's being crucified, that it's afraid to show up. How are you going to make it afraid to show up? Because it knows it may catch you off guard. You may make a mistake. But there always comes a time after that happens in every single person when you look back and feel that moment of regret, or at least understanding. You can see the moment. You're not in the moment. And you better fear what your integrity does to yourself then when Daddy finds out. When Daddy realizes what happens. When you look back, when the conviction hits, and you understand, I made a mistake. You better have a healthy fear of your own integrity when it kicks in at that moment. Not that you're infallible and can never make a mistake or could never forget, but when you remember, then what happens? It should be like Daddy finding out. And if you don't have rule over your spirit, it's like a city that is broken down without walls. The enemy tramples in, no repercussions, tramples in again. It's not hard. They just trample in when they happen to be meandering by, and you're a vulnerable target. That's why we're talking about self-discipline. And that's just what it is. It's no different than child discipline or God's discipline. It's not joyous, but grievous. And it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Or it doesn't qualify. Let's read some of those Proverbs verses. Chasten thyself while there is hope. If you don't figure this out now, someday there will be no hope for you. You'll be cast out. Chasten thyself while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. You could do that to your child. You could do that for your child. And you could too. But how many people are doing that for themselves? I'm giving you, did I say the real recipe for overcoming failure? This recipe works. Because if you have integrity like this, even your selfish side decides it doesn't pay. It doesn't pay. And ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. I keep putting that up as this is the expectation. This is a reasonable expectation. So until we get there, don't feel like anybody's done you any wrong. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Okay. We understood this for our children. Here we go. Give discipline appropriate to the level of offense, knowledge of the offense, and considering how many times this offense has taken place. Well, I'm not going to call it a besetting sin anymore because it sounds like then it's ranked up pretty high on the number. And I know about it. So it's just going to, D-rank that, what do they call that? D-rate it. We're going to D-rate that one. Because I was using it as, this is just a besetting sin. It's something, you know, we're all human. We go into my humanity box, you know, to try to say that I got, you know, you just got to give me grace for this one because I can't seem to get over this one. It's my struggle, you know. And now you just made it sound like that puts it way up on the discipline scale. So, no, it actually, I haven't been struggling with it for that long, but it is something that I'm working with. He just derated that thing bad. Are you partial? Are you partial? Listen, do you want to go to heaven? Do you want to have victory? Do you want to be part of that spotless bride without spot or wrinkle or any such thing? There is a salvation program. There is a reconciliation program. God has to see genuine repentance. And if He sees genuine repentance, it will be accompanied by appropriate self-discipline. It will absolutely. You said you love righteousness and hate iniquity, or maybe you were smart enough to hold on that question, so let me answer that in a few minutes. But if you hate iniquity, you're not going to keep coming back to the pot. I don't like this stuff at all. Come on. Give discipline appropriate to the level of offense. You need to get to the point where you fear your own integrity. Just like you have the fear of God. As a just judge who loves righteousness and hates all iniquity, yours the most. And views your iniquity as a deadly foe for your soul. No more, not necessarily, no less for yourself. I said you can give mercy to others. Be appropriate, no less for yourself. Now, I know I'm probably telling you things you may have never heard in these terms. These are recipes that work. You must regret the trespass based on your own self-discipline, or your integrity has been mocked. And you are sending yourself down a trail where you will be cast out because God will not be mocked. You must regret the trespass. How are you going to know if you regretted that trespass and if that was a sufficient self-discipline? You have not yet resisted under blood striving against sin. How are you going to know? Did we say repeat offenses? I can tell you how to take a lying habit and put that thing so into obliteration that it is afraid to show its ugly head ever again. I will not go to the judgment seat of Christ and be caught off guard with lies that haven't been taken care of. And I'm telling you about it right now. And this goes for any bad habit. You can take care of it by you making sure it does not pay. Making it so bad, your integrity side. Making it so bad on your carnal side that it doesn't pay even for the selfish side. It doesn't pay. Don't do it. You can do that to yourself. Right. I know. What I'm talking about. You will still make mistakes, but the accountability level is high. And the knowledge level is high. And you're not going to give yourself a break. And it's going to hurt. And next time when you open your mouth, it's going to be one word at a time. You ain't going to say the fifth word before you say the first word. Don't worry, it ain't going to slip out. And you'll have time to correct the fifth word if it was bad, because it's just one word at a time. It'll just be the next word that comes out of your mouth. It's not going to all overwhelm you at once, all your words coming out in 5 minutes for the whole day. I can't control them all because I'm human. They come out one at a time. This is controllable, folks. You have to make yourself want to control it. Let not thy soul spare for his crying. You don't give discipline based on the reaction of your feelings during discipline. I'm hungry. I might have a sugar crash. You have not yet resisted unto blood striving against sin. Don't get wimpy with me, with yourself. You've never heard me smart off to me. When something like this is taking place, and I'm serious, so, you eat the cake off the counter, so to speak. Your God-given appetite fulfilled in a God-forbidden way. There will be levels of correction based on the level, the number of trespass. Based on the age. Yeah, well, you're only 20, so you're pretty young. Listen, you give yourself a break, you loser. You kind of thought that at 12 years old it deserved a pretty good discipline based on the level of knowledge. And yeah, I don't know much. I'm kind of ignorant. Listen to you. Appropriate discipline. I will say that in my life, I've done what I thought was appropriate discipline. And when that repeat offense showed up, a lot more got slapped on. I would correct that problem. And if it showed up again, a lot more slapped on. I would correct that problem. And I haven't resisted under blood striving against sin. And I have been able to correct some bad character flaws that way. I'm not flawless, but I'm telling you a recipe that can make you afraid of your own integrity. And some of those things, if they show up, aren't going to be cheap. Do you want to go to heaven? Do you want God to save for you? You are serious. He was really sorry. I happen to know that in most cases when we transgress, folks, we can barely accept correction. In most cases, be honest with yourself. In most cases, we can barely accept correction. Now, accepting correction from God's point is taking it and adjusting to it. Now we can really barely accept correction. Not just smiling and being cordial and respectful. We aren't even close to self-discipline like I'm talking about as a general rule. Now, if God showed up and wanted to find faith on the earth, and the one's taken and the other's left, I want you to go too. We've got to fix some problems. Without self-discipline, I will just say, without self-discipline, there is no true repentance. Impossible. Impossible that you would trample on Jesus' blood that way. We have an advocate, Jesus' blood. It's a sacred system. He that spareth the rod hateth his soul. But he that loveth him chasteneth him appropriate times, be times. First offense, second offense, third offense. Find out where you're at. 4 years, 6 years, 8 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years. Where are you? Should this have been taken care of a long time ago, and it will end today? This correction, I think, will be sufficient and end it today. Oh, it didn't end it today. Well, this correction then should end it today. This is enough offense and violation of God. He died on the cross because he hated sin so bad. He could have just said, I'll forgive you. Don't worry. Y'all are doing pretty good. Good and plenty. No worries. He didn't do that because he hated iniquity that much. You've got to hate it enough. He did it for you. He crucified for you. Can we resist unto blood for our own soul's sake to prove to God that we love righteousness just as bad as you do? I'm sorry, but I love it just as bad as you. And as soon as I realized what I had done, look what my integrity side of me did to show you that. God's going to look at it and go, I think you do actually love righteousness as bad as I do. Those things are important to convince God of if you want back in the garden. You struggle with dishonesty. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shalt deliver thy soul from hell. Withhold not correction from thyself. For if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. I might have a sugar crash. Have it. That's what I would tell myself. There's times I'll feel that way. Have it. Have it. You want to do that again? Have it. If I have a sugar crash, I might have a bad attitude. Then it's going to be worse. You'll get some more. You guys know how to be men, don't you? Stand up to yourself. Be a man. Stand up to yourself. Be a drill sergeant for yourself. It will work. Withhold not correction. You can believe that verse for your child. And we've forgotten the exhortation with speaking unto us as unto children. I don't know adults in this. I don't know anybody. Pushing this like this. I think this is the way of life. And I think this is why a lot of people are going to be left. They never convinced God that they were truly sorry. Because of when they realized they had made an offense. They were doing good to say, I'm sorry. It was all they could muster to come up to the altar and say, I'm sorry. Boy, that was true repentance. Hopefully. That was a recognition of the crime. Now what's going to happen? Yeah, I'm a human. I make mistakes. We can't always do things right. There is always a time when you can get out of the situation and look at it squarely. I want to know what happened then. Not in the middle. I might not always say it right. I might forget. There's always a time when God is faithful to bring it to your remembrance. That time will come. I don't care if it comes 3 weeks later. God will bring it to your remembrance. And if He doesn't, it either wasn't a crime or God lied about His Holy Spirit and its work to correct us, convict. And I don't believe any one of those. Because conviction works for me. It reminds me. Sometimes it's when I get home and I've been some. It works. So, when you get out of that situation and you realize my humanity, I failed. And you're looking at that situation. Now's the time for your integrity to do some discipline. Make some corrections. That shouldn't happen again. And next time when you're in that situation, it's going to be like that child who was well disciplined and he's just kind of checking for daddy. Because last time, he did something right here with this particular child, this particular instance, and there was trouble. And so this time you notice the child, he's kind of watching to make sure he remembers quite well what happened last time. And you have not yet resisted unto blood striving against sin. Remember Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. He hadn't done anything wrong. He didn't need atonement. If you believe the Bible and those warnings that we talked about the other night are absolutely true as spoken, it is so reasonable to implement what I'm talking about tonight. Because the natural response of the other night is, then what are we going to do? I make mistakes. I'm a person. I'm not always going to remember it like he's standing right there. But I'm going to try what it can bring, just a bit of despair. Well, I'm here to bring the good news. 3 weeks later, 3 hours later, when you realize you made a mistake, this fixes your humanity problem. What do you do then? You're not without hope since you made a mistake. That happened. But what do you do then? Once you realize you made a mistake, Well, I'm a human. I don't... Oh, what? Yeah, you're giving yourself a break. This is easy. This one's easy. You could do it for your child. You convince God, Lord, I don't ever... Please remind me. I don't ever want to do that again. I'm doing this. Discipline. To show you that I don't ever want to do that again. And if it happens again, self, if that happens again, you will regret it. Self-discipline. If it doesn't hurt and it doesn't produce fruits unto righteousness, it's not discipline. It's a joke. And like I said, most of the time when we make mistakes and stuff, a lot of us here, okay, I see it, have generally pretty careless attitudes about it. Whatever, I don't care. Or you can tough it if you want, sir. That kind of attitude. We're not even close to self-discipline like this. But we think if the rapture took place, we were going to go. No, you're going to have a harsh reality. How is your repentance going to change? What's it going to look like when you believe what the Bible says? It is the way it says it is. How would it change your life if you saw God watching you and pondering everything you did? How would it change your repentance? If you saw God, you saw Jesus on the cross, you saw all this stuff, you saw God and His Son going to apply His blood, and He's saying, convince me that you're sorry before I apply this sacred blood. Tough it if you want, or... Fine. I might miss a meal. Did you think missing a meal is what I was talking about? A meal? Maybe first level. I'm talking about things that make you regret. You've got to convince God that it's worth applying that sacred blood. That you hate iniquity as bad as He does. And you're sorry that He has to apply that blood again. And He's convinced that you love righteousness. And that blood applied to you will increase the fruit of righteousness. His love of righteousness will not be hindered by His forgiveness of you. Blessed are they who have not seen and yet have believed. What about our resistance to correction? Failing to carefully follow all of God's instructions. What do you do 3 hours after the moment? I'm giving you 3 hours to think about the fact that you made a mistake, that you failed again. We're not talking about minor. We're talking about things that offend God. We're talking about dishonesty. We're talking about resistance to correction. We're talking about disrespect to authority. We're talking about God-given appetites fulfilled in God-forbidden ways. We're talking about dishonesty. I'm not talking about if you tie your shoe wrong, put your foot on the wrong shoe. Probably going to put your shoe on the wrong foot, but that's how I would do it. We're not talking about that. We're not talking about you having perfect knowledge and being able to do everything without any mistakes. I'm talking about what you do with what you know. When you knowing the commandment of God, knowing the preference of God, transgress. In the heat of a moment, something happens. And you transgress. Now, you can take this principle of self-discipline and really perfect your character. You can. I don't like to give direct instances of anything for myself. But you can do that. It wasn't that long ago I had a conversation. And in that conversation, I said some things that I felt like later, it sounded a little bit proud. I didn't like what I said. I was not happy that I had said it. And I made correction to the person, and I made correction to myself. And for a lot of you guys, you can do the fasting thing, you can do some other things. Let me tell you. You can hit it in your pocketbook, and you will start fixing your problems so fast. I will die. I will work every day in the heat and make that money, and then I will die and give it all before I go to hell. I will convince God that I'm sorry about that. You can fix your problems so fast because you can make yourself very determined if you're afraid of your own integrity when it finds out. When God convicts, when you remember, when you look back at it an hour later, you're like, I don't want to do that again. But you're going to do it again unless I take care of it. You can fix your problems. I'm telling you right now. You can fix it. You can convince God that you're sorry. Or you can let Him know what He thought it was worth, the precious blood of His Son, to cleanse you from that sin. You should be trying to mimic a penalty that satisfies God. Not that you think you're covering for your sin, but one that lets God know that you hated that bad. Because He hated it that bad. You realize He let His Son bleed on a cross because He hated your sin that bad. Right. If a lesser sacrifice would have sufficed, it could have used a lesser sacrifice. He didn't go overkill. That's how much He hated your sin. And when you repent, the whole idea is that you begin to agree with God on the hatred of sin against yourself. And God has to be convinced by your self-discipline that you agree with His verdict against sin. And that you hate it now as bad as He did. There's no way you can make a penalty like that. But you can at least show God more than, I'm sorry. I don't know how many of us, even when we find out that we failed like that, will go out and weep about it to God by ourselves. I don't want to say, and I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. I just want us to be honest with ourselves. When's the last time you went out and wept before God because you were so sorry? You knew how bad He hated your sin. And you were so sorry that you had offended Him. You wanted to be His friend, and this is in the way. And it won't be in the way for long because I will fix this problem. Amen. Think about that. Amen. Now, maybe you're perfect and you've never done any of these things and you didn't need to do that, right? Now, I think we needed to have been on our face a few more times. I don't know if we can't even go out and do that. We can't say that we hate sin as bad as God hates it when He had His Son bleed for it. Impossible. He's not going to be convinced. He's smarter than that. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Might be a good time to look at your lap again. If you're struggling. The good news is that when we sinned, He was willing to come and die and be crucified for us. He made a way out back to eternal life when we were banned from the garden with two swords. He made a way back. But we have to reverse our bad opinion. We have to change our love to something other than what got us kicked out of the garden. And He has to be convinced that that happened. I'm definitely running short on time. So I'm definitely going to skip some things. I hope we're getting the point. Don't tell me we make mistakes. I know we make mistakes. That's the whole reason I made this sermon. There's a reconciliation plan. There's terms. There's a God that needs to be convinced that you love righteousness and hate iniquity as bad as He does. That's what we're talking about. And I'm talking about however long it takes you after that happens that God convicts you. If you're a zombie or a cow and you don't have any conviction, you're one of a very few and far between. And I'm sorry that you're in that situation. But if you're like the rest of us and you get conviction, then you see your problems at some point. And you can do something about it then. To convince God that you're sorry and to help you remember. And when He sees that you're not late for this and you're not late for that, and you can sure make this happen and you can sure remind yourself here and you can sure If you're not doing that in your spiritual life, that same character does not bleed into your spiritual life, you are condemning yourself the whole time. You're using all your good character, all your good integrity in your life is condemning you spiritually because you're not using that same character that you know about that works in your spiritual life. You got lazy when it came to the things God cares about. And so your own character will work against you in court.
Amen.
Amen.
Just passed on a really big topic there. You got to go read Ezekiel 33 sometime. You may understand why I'm saying what I'm saying. If I don't warn, if I warn and you don't listen, I'm delivering my soul. I'm delivering my soul tonight. If I know, if the Lord impresses this on my mind and shows me this reality, and I don't teach, and you don't get helped by it, I damn my own soul. So I am saving my soul tonight, getting blood off my hands, and then you can do what you want with it. In Micah 6:6 it says, "Wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with 10,000s of rams or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul?" Somebody in total realizing how far they were and not acting like they knew how to get up. And it says, "He hath showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee? But to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God." Obviously, this guy's transgressed. He doesn't know what he's going to be able to do to fix it. Obviously, the things that you're doing are not paying for your sin. Without the blood, we're not talking about atoning. We're not talking, somebody's going to go bonkers on the works thing, aren't they? We're not talking about atoning for your sin. We're talking about convincing the guy who, or the God who let his son die, that you're repented so that he can atone for your sin. We're just talking about ways you can remind yourself and convince God that you're sorry about your sin. That's all we're talking about. You still need forgiveness. You're not paying for anything. There's more questions about that. I don't have time tonight, but I have time later, so just come talk to me. Or Daddy, he'd probably be good. Anyway, "He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee? Do justly, love mercy, walk humbly with thy God." I can't, I just keep failing. Well, you want to be that way? There's a place for you too. In 1 John 3:1, it says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." What manner of love? Do you view it that way? You've just been raised, that's common knowledge. What are you talking about? Tell me anything new? No. You haven't put yourself in the position of being banished. You haven't put yourself in the position of a hopeless situation. Beloved, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be... We have an opportunity to be called the sons of God again. After that, He gave us another opportunity. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Wow. People think that the preacher's kids ought to behave, right? What about the sons of God? Are you one of those? How do you think they should behave? "And it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is." This is glory beyond our imagination. These expectations that God has, all He wants to know is that we've decided that we don't agree with our sin. We don't love our sin. We hate it. That's all He wants to see. We hate it as bad as He does. That's reasonable if He's going to let us back into the tree of life. That is reasonable. You think He's going to expect that you like hate it as bad as He does if you haven't even introduced self-discipline to yourself yet in any measure that produces good fruit and makes you regret and stop? You think He's going to be convinced? And every man that hath this hope, and remember that Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, he knew what it was like. He endured the cross. He wasn't going to transgress. And every man that hath this hope in him. In other words, someone who has so repented. They have the witness of the Holy Spirit in their life. And they have this hope. They're longing for the day when things are coming out on the housetop. They're longing for the day of judgment when everything's made straight and clear. They love righteousness. They just want it to prevail. They've been fighting for it in their own jurisdiction so hard. God's convinced. Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. Did you remember me saying that you can fine-tune your character quite well with this self-discipline method? You've got a lot of control over what you do. You could make yourself not eat dessert. People do that just to have good health. And you couldn't do that to yourself for a year to show God that you're surely stopping this problem. People can do that for years on end just to get good health. There's a lot of self-discipline that goes on in people all over the world for things that they love. But there's not a lot of self-discipline like that going on all over the world for righteousness. If you have this hope in you, you will be purifying yourself even as he is pure, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. He was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil. How many times do you have to have that besetting sin before God says he committeth sin? We need to clean up the playing field and get a lot of stuff taken care of to where the transgressions are fewer and farther between, and they're dealt with like a firm hand of a father on a knowing child. I did not say these things. I am reading to you directly out of the scripture. And it says, he that committeth sin is of the devil. You need to tell yourself when you commit sin, that's of the devil. And there's a reason, there's a problem with the fact that you like that. You keep going to church and you keep talking about Jesus and you keep doing that. And you just keep on shaking that stuff and popping it in. You got a problem, son. You need to talk to yourself.
Amen.
Why in the world do you keep going back and failing in that same area? I will fix this. You need to talk to yourself.
Right.
Because the Bible says he that committed sin is of the devil. Are you of the devil or not? Prove it to me. Prove it to me. You need to talk to yourself. You need to talk to yourself like this. Why in the world did you catch yourself doing that? Why in the world did you tell that lie? No, I remember I was there. I know you thought about it right before you said it. You didn't think about all the ramifications, but you thought about it. Why in the world did you tell that lie? You need to talk to yourself. You of the devil or not? You think you're a Christian going to go to heaven telling those lies? Why'd you tell that lie? You're going to make Jesus apply his precious blood again? You think you're taking advantage of a sacred system? You think you're going to manipulate God? You just want to go to hell? All right, we're going to fix this problem. You need to talk to yourself. You need to talk to yourself in more honest and real ways than anybody else will talk to you. Because God needs to know that you love righteousness and you hate iniquity like he does. Because the Bible says, in 1 John 3:8, it says, he that committeth sin is of the devil. And you need to make sure you know that real well. It was also in 1 John at the beginning that he said, I write these things unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate. Okay? And then he goes on, and next thing you know, he's saying this. I don't think he wants you to take advantage of that advocate. I don't think he was teaching the grace of God to have a negative effect on your spiritual growth. But he did teach that we have an advocate. That's what I'm talking about tonight. We do have an advocate. There is blood that can be applied. He that committed sin is of the devil comes next. Same guy, same letter.
Right.
We do have an advocate. There's mercy available. But it's only going to be, shall he find faith on the earth? You wonder why Jesus said that? I think Jesus is smart. I think that was a legitimate concern. For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. He's running and doing, Lord, what do you want me to do next? What can we do next? I don't want to do anything to hurt your testimony. I want to. And then you're doing what? No. You're born of God. You've got a goal. You've got a life. You've got a race to run. Amen. You're busy. Full time.
Amen.
That's the problem.
Amen.
A lot of people are part time. And it's that other time that gets them in trouble. When you're full time focused on everything's a chess game with the devil and trying to serve God, you're ruling out a lot of opportunity for failure. Because you rarely get so change in behavior so rapidly. Remember, everything only comes one thing at a time. Yeah, I run a business too, and I know things can feel like they're coming more than one thing at a time. But life is one moment at a time. You can process one moment at a time. In this, the children of God are manifest. Are you a child of God? In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. I'm still reading right here in the same spot. Whosoever doeth not, it sounds like the same guy. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. You have not yet resisted unto blood striving against sin. You might need to. It's worth it. Because every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. He resisted unto blood for you. Because of the joy that was set before him. The Apostle Paul, when he had his vision, we'll be done here for too long. I can't cut this one short. I couldn't cut this one short. I think I'm giving you the most life-giving recipe, the most life-saving recipe I can ever give you. There's a lot of people that have understanding in the principles of right and wrong. They know what's right and wrong. I don't have to teach you what a lie is. I didn't have to spend much time telling you what dishonesty was, what despising reproof was, what disrespect was. You guys know all that stuff. I didn't have to spend a lot of time talking about that at all. And we all know that you're supposed to love righteousness and hate iniquity. We all know what the word love and the word hate means. I think you. Application. Bring it to home. This will fix our problems. This helps us go from taking what we know to do and making our character that. Look at what you think is an exemplary character, a very Christ-like character, and then say, in the mirror, buddy, you see that? I want you to act that way. And if you don't, I still want you to act that way, and you're going to. You will act that way. I'm going to convince God. He's looking for a church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, holy and without blemish. Under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. He's looking for that. When he comes looking for that, I want him to find me over here. I want him to find faith on the earth, buddy. And you're going to look like that. You're going to act like that. Okay? Now we're going along. Okay. That's good. What's that? I just tasted that. Did you just ignore some instruction? Did you just bypass that? No, I don't think that. Be quiet. Did you just ignore some instruction? Did you just tell a lie? Did you just do something that you knew wasn't right? Did you just displease God? I told you you were going to act like that. It's never going to pay to take those. If you have self-discipline, that'll convince God that you're sorry. You can fine-tune your character. As your understanding of what God likes and approves of and His preferences grow, you can shape yourself right up. Because it can get expensive not to. All you have to do is change your selfish wanter and make it afraid of your integrity when you find out, when conviction hits, when God says, hey, that wasn't really okay. And you're like, no, that wasn't really okay. Thanks for letting me know. Your selfish being needs to be afraid of the moment you find out. If you want to say it that way. Well, I don't remember what I'm in the middle of. You want to laugh at me when I act like you're two beings? Okay. Well, later when you remember, that's the other being. Whenever that happens. However you want to view it, it's fine. But this problem can be fixed. The Apostle Paul went around, he had this vision. And he said he wasn't disobedient to the heavenly vision, but he went around and taught everyone that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet appropriate for repentance. The question is, what's appropriate for repentance? What is repentance? Repentance is telling God, I hate it as bad as you do. I'm sorry, I never want to do it again. I repent. I turn from my evil way so that I can have mercy. I forsake my sins so I can have mercy. That's repentance. The Apostle Paul, is he the one who wrote Hebrews 2? Yeah, he's the one. That's what he was teaching. I was reading you a little bit about his teaching. And then he says to the Corinthians, now rejoice not that you were made sorry, but that you sorrowed to repentance, for you were made sorry after a godly manner, that you might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance unto salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. For behold, this selfsame thing, that you sorrowed after a godly sort. It's important that an apostle or God or somebody with spiritual discernment can say this. Do you do that? Do you sorrow after a godly sort? Have you ever seen yourself sorrow after a godly sort? Let's see. What carefulness it wrought in you. For behold, the selfsame thing that you sorrowed after a godly sort. I don't want you to think I'm jumping somewhere. I'm making this up. What carefulness it wrought in you. How do you think that carefulness came about? Maybe some self-discipline brought some carefulness along. Yay, what clearing of yourselves. That's a lot of activity. Clear your testimony. Confess. Forsake. Yay, what indignation. We're not talking about hating other people. We're talking about talking to that man in the mirror is what we're talking about. Yay, what fear. Yay, what vehement desire. Yay, what zeal. This is strong language. These are extreme characteristics. This isn't just mumbly-bumbly, I'm sorry stuff. These are words to describe a very fervent repentance. Maybe something like we talked about tonight. Accompanied with self-discipline. What carefulness. What zeal. Yeah, I said, I'm sorry. Well, that's zeal. No, I don't think that's what he was talking about. I don't think that's what he was talking about. How are you going to be sorry with zeal? And repent with zeal. And carefulness. And revenge. How's an apostle ever going to say that about you? What do you think made him say that? I think there was things put in place to make sure this didn't happen again. Right? What revenge? In all these things, you have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter. That is so important on Judgment Day. That is so important. You sorrowed after a godly sort. And all these things, you have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter. Do you even cry? Because of the sin? When Zacchaeus and Jesus met, Zacchaeus heard Jesus and he said, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. I want to give to your cause. If I've committed taking anything from any man by false accusation, I implement your law, your opinion about my sin upon myself. I'll go take care of it, give him fourfold. I don't need a judge doing it to me, God. I agree with you now. I agree with your verdict. I hate my sin just like you did. And in the Bible, in the law, it said he's restored fourfold. So that kid says, if I did any of this, I'm going to go restore him fourfold. I'm going to implement the verdict that I know you would implement or told the judge to implement on me, but I'm doing it on myself because I agree with you. And Jesus said, that's what he said. This day is salvation come to this house. When he saw that he agreed with God against himself, he agreed with God's verdicts against himself this day. Folks, if we're not here to get salvation, why are we here? I'm giving you the recipe, the real one that works. Do you sorrow after a godly sort? When Zacchaeus agreed with God against himself, he saw his sin as bad as God saw it. He saw that God dropped Ananias and Sapphira dead when they told that lie. I just told a lie. It needs to be some heavy duty discipline so that I can obtain mercy of God. Because I just saw, I remember how upset he was about this type of transgression. It should be something that makes sure I never trample that boundary again. If for some reason he should show up and take his own home, and I had something like that on my record that wasn't cleared up thoroughly to his satisfaction, where he said, "This day is salvation come to this house," I'm going to drop into hell, and all the pretending church has only worked to my savor of death. Do you know when Jesus says, "This day is salvation come to this house," you know that it came. I don't care if I say it or anybody else says it. We saw a recipe here where this man agreed with God on the penalty and said, "I will go implement it upon myself." That's what Jesus looks for in us. And in his grace, he said, "This day is salvation come to this house." Without the blood of Jesus, it wouldn't matter what that man gave. He could never atone for the sin that he had went and done cheating. It was the grace of Jesus that said, "This day is salvation come to this house." But Zacchaeus had to do his part so God could say, "I forgive you." It's a beautiful picture of true repentance. Self-discipline, agreeing with God, and salvation from the words of Jesus. There's a lot of forms of self-discipline that you can implement. You know what matters most to you. You may need to use wisdom. You may need to get counsel. You don't need to go bonkers with what I said tonight and try to make you the exception. I can't. If you want to go to hell, do that. I'm talking to the people who have some strength of character. I believe all of you believe in Jesus. I believe there's a need here. I think we all need to convince Jesus that we agree with him against ourselves. I'm telling you how I think he views that, how when he'll see that as it is. You don't need to go bonkers. You don't need to go and melt in a puddle. This is called get up. Have strength of character. Implement discipline. If you go to discipline your child and they just melt, and they just become a wilted whatever, "I can't ever do anything right," they just need more discipline, and a little more discipline, a little more discipline, a little more discipline, a little more discipline. Unless you're just going to give up on your child and just let them become a nothing, nothing. Does that work? That doesn't work. Don't do it for yourself. Don't forget the exhortation which speaketh unto you is unto children. It works for adults too. And with greater accountability, greater knowledge, and multiple offenses, and greater understanding, there needs to be appropriate discipline. It's just common sense. It's just common sense that's been overlooked a lot. You can start out with, you know, whatever fines. When that trespass happens again, you can amplify it. And you can make it bigger. And when it happens again, you can make it bigger. Until next thing you know, those things have just rotted. That store will not be in business because of you anymore. Quit making God and other people think that you enjoy the flavor by occasionally walking by and knowingly looking at it and grabbing it. I'm not talking about ignorance, guys. Don't go bonkers. I'm not talking about ignorance. I'm not talking about all your humanity and what you don't know. I'm talking about what you know. Anybody, if you didn't know that resisting authority or something with disrespect, if you didn't know any of that was sin, you do now. I think we all knew that. I'm not talking about stuff you don't know. I know we're humans. I'm talking about stuff we can do. I'm not talking about the fact you may not remember in the heat of the moment. I'm talking about stuff we know. I'm talking about when you look back and you remember it later. You can do something.
That's right.
I don't know what needs to be taken care of in your life, but I know this recipe works. It will make you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. It will make you be sober and vigilant. It will bring about those characteristics that we hear that we're supposed to be. It will actually make you do that. You'll be watching every word that comes out of your mouth. You'll be paying attention to where you look, what you dwell on, what thoughts you allow. The thought of foolishness is sin. You don't let those, you let that thing shoot at you, and you get that, and the Lord rebuke you, and you focus on something different. Well, I just can't. Go to hell. I'm not the ones who present the terms of reconciliation or make them. I am just declaring what has been written. And I want salvation to come to each individual house, each individual person. I want Jesus. I don't care what I say. I don't care what your preacher says. I don't care what any mommy says. Daddy says. I don't care what you say to yourself. I want Jesus to say, this day is salvation. Come.
Amen.
And that's all that you should care about. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Still not asking too much.
Let's stand together.
The Apostle Peter, in the same letter, said, if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and sinner appear? If the righteous scarcely be saved, in the same letter he said, I have written briefly exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God wherein ye stand. The grace of God has been turned to lasciviousness in a big way, by many degrees, in our day. The grace of God should only provoke and motivate you to repentance, faith, diligence, vigilance, and purity. If you've heard of a grace of God that actually does the other, it's the wrong one. Mm-hmm. Anyone have a thought to share before we go to prayer and close? In case some of you are at a little bit of a loss of knowing exactly what Nathan's talking about, I think he at first wasn't quite clear because most of us knew, but if you didn't, he's talking about missing a meal, fasting. Maybe saying that if you do that again, you know, I'm going to put X amount in the offering plate, I'm going to go weed the whole garden, I'm going to do something like that, I'm going to discipline myself. I'm going to give something to somebody, whatever it might be. But it's something that hurts you and makes you not want to do it again. Okay? So when you talk about self-discipline, he's talking probably the best way to do that is by fasting. Or maybe Not allowing yourself any time to play if you're a young person, a child. As you're an adult, maybe it's making yourself, you know, denying yourself something that you really enjoy for a while, or taking some time and saying, I'm going to go over, instead of getting done what I want to do, I'm going to go help so-and-so and invest in somebody's life as a blessing to them, but also a discipline to me. I don't know. There's a lot of different things. Just so you don't misunderstand what's being said. Any thoughts? Self-discipline is a biblical concept. But it's one that everybody likes to avoid. Mm-hmm. Just the same way a child likes to avoid daddy's rod. But like he said, God's looking to see how bad you want to be righteous. How bad do you want to be biblical? How bad do you want to be in a biblical church? How bad do you want to see your relatives converted? How bad do you really want to pay your bills? How bad do you want to fix your marriage? How bad do you want to honor your parents? That's what it's about. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. Thank you for your messages this week through your servants. This matter of self-discipline is something that we cannot just brush under the rug if we truly want to be saved. Because iniquity abounds, the love of many will wax cold. But he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. The one that endured to the end when iniquity abounded is one who disciplined themselves. They made sure their love did not wax cold. They endured to the end. That is true faith. That is the true grace of God. Father, help us to evaluate our life. We need to make some goals. We need to say, okay, this besetting sin, this bad habit, this poor character, next time it shows up, this is going to be what I'm going to do. Write it down and then hold yourself to it. Write it down and stick to it. If you're a young person, get counsel from your parents. Father, I pray that you would help us to embrace the truth. If we have the proper hope in us, we purify ourselves. There's a lot of personal responsibility in that. We thank you, Father, for these meetings. I pray that you would be with all of us tonight. Help us to sleep well. Be refreshed and ready tomorrow as we continue our week of intense Bible study, fellowship, growth, spiritual recharge. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now discipline yourself to get to bed at a decent hour.